Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Richmond's home for the Hokies, who have a special announcement. They have hired James Franklin. We will air his introductory press conference tomorrow right here on Richmond's home for the Hokies, 9:10 a.m. 105.1 FM. That will be during Michael Phillips' show, and then he'll pass it off to me, AWOD Radio, here on The Fan. Joining us right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline to run around local sports in the 804, it's Lane Casadante. What's up, Lane?
Good afternoon, Adam. How's everybody?
Doing pretty good. Let's start with James Franklin. You know, your take on this coaching search and the committee that they put together and ultimately landing on James Franklin.
Yeah, and we've been hearing this name for at least 3 weeks, right? Probably, yeah. This is the name that the majority of Hokie Nation kind of wanted, kind of gravitated to, and they got him. And they needed to, you know, with all of everything that they have put into this coaching search and the big splash that they made with, oh, we're going to start spending this much money and we're going to start raising this much money. And, you know, they are finally wading into the deep end of the college football pool in terms of NIL and, you know, getting serious about acquiring players. You got to land the coach and you got to win that press conference. And Franklin, I think, is a very good choice. He has recruited Virginia extremely well. He can coach and he can recruit. He just, for whatever reason, and there are a million reasons why one team wins a football game and another team doesn't, but a lot of those reasons lined up against him in the big games at Penn State. Now, you know, and he has that to learn from. So when he comes to Virginia Tech, you know, he won't have that kind of game just yet, but he can work his way and the program's way up to that.
Lane, what's interesting is when the Hokies decided to fire Brent Pry after the 0-3 start, Coach Franklin wasn't supposed to be available, right? He wasn't supposed to be fired by Penn State. And that kind of, you kind of understand why they got the head start on this, because once he became available, he became the number one target for them. And so I do think this is going to really change the program. And, you know, all my research on James Franklin, I go back to his time at Maryland when he was the recruiting specialist. He took over the DMV. That was in 2003. So you see how long he's been, you know, running the recruitment in the DMV. I think that's going to be terrific for the Hokies.
And he was also at James Madison for at least a season or two. So he knows this area ridiculously well. He had a couple of our best high school players here signed to go play there this fall. Davion Fat Rat Brown over at Trinity had signed, you know, had committed to Penn State. He hadn't signed yet because we haven't gotten to December yet, and he has since decommitted from that verbal. Will he wind up in, you know, Blacksburg next year? There's a number of kids that had ties and interest and more than a passing fancy with Penn State, and now, you know, hey, you're just a little bit closer. Plus, the path to the college football playoff, I mean, honestly, it's easier in the ACC than it is in the Big Ten. And if he wants to get a program back to that playoff and back to that sort of national prominence, this is an easier path right now than you would have at Penn State. So it makes a lot of sense. He's very well known in this area. And he has, you know, they said this is, you know, Frank Beamer won, I think, at least 10 games for 13 straight seasons. And this is, you know, the first guy that they've had since then that can say that. Plus, to your point, Virginia Tech was one of the first big time jobs that came open. So they did have a head start on everybody else in terms of trying to land the guy that they really wanted.
How quickly do you think he can turn this around? I believe in this era of the NIL and the transfer portal and the commitment to Virginia Tech football, I could see them winning 8 games next year.
Yes, I could see them getting to a bowl game next year. I could see them getting to the playoffs in 2 years. And you're right. Normally, it would have taken a new coach, at least 3 seasons to come in, get his players, evaluate the program. And now that's done on a year-to-year basis. How many new faces did Tech have this year? Did UVA have this year? UVA has, I think, over 50 new faces on their roster this year, and they're going to play for the ACC championship. So it can be done from 1 year to the next. But, you know, you're also, we don't know how far Virginia Tech is going to have to come when he gets in there and evaluates everything, evaluates the roster, sees what kind of kids he could get, how quickly can they be ready and become a team to compete and win at the ACC level. I think you're right. I think they can absolutely win 8 games next year, and I think the playoffs in 2 years is not out of the question at all.
Lane Casadante, sports director at CBS6 here locally in Richmond, Virginia. I'm Adam Epstein. This is AWOD Radio. Let's get to the NFL and the Washington Commanders. Lane, I've been... Yeah, and we do. And I've been advocating that I am a Dan Quinn guy, and I want him to stick around. And as these losses pile up, it's becoming harder and harder to defend Dan Quinn. But I absolutely thought you got some juice from the defense with him moving to defensive coordinator. They got the red zone stops. It was a slight improvement defensively. And I'm hearing the fans are starting to – go ahead. What were you going to say?
No. It's you have to consider the competition. They were playing a Dolphins team that is just as down and beat up as they are. But I really hate, and I know coaches are judged on wins and losses, and that's, you know, your ultimate resume, but they're so decimated this year. They have lost so many players due to injury that I would be perfectly willing, if I was a Commanders fan, to give Dan a pass on this season just because he doesn't have anything. I mean, they're trying to pull guys, you know, Jay Gruden at one point was pulling guys out of Gold's Gym to play on the offensive line one of his years. I'm very, very hesitant to judge a coach or a staff on a year like this. Now, if they had everybody and they only lost 1 or 2 players and they're still doing this, okay, now we got a problem. But I would give Dan Quinn and the entire staff a complete pass because they're just not dealing with a full deck this year.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And then I go to Adam Peters, who I've been saying has done no wrong. I have started to turn the corner a little bit on him. I still think you have to talk about the positive moves that he's made here and the guys that he's brought in. But he missed on the kicker position, and he whiffed with $4 million going to Matt Gay. You'd never seen a kicker make that much money, and he can't make a kick. And he was just cut after losing the game in Madrid. I mean, you have to talk about the negatives here with all the positives that Adam Peters has done. He completely whiffed on kicker, and this is kind of 2 years in a row here because they had like 7 guys kicking last year.
Sure, and you're not wrong, and his balance sheet is still firmly in the black, but the kicker is something you don't think about until it's a negative, you know, or unless it's a Chris Boswell or the kid in Jacksonville that's hitting him from 70 yards or something like that. You know, we expect kickers to be perfect, it's kind of like umpires. We expect them to be perfect, and anything less is a complete disappointment. But you're right. I mean, Matt Gay, you know, that's one too many, or two, three, four too many misses in crucial situations. And when you're a team like this, you know, you got to have it. And there are kickers all over the place. You can go out and, you know, try somebody else. But overall, I think Adam Peters and his staff have done a pretty good job rebuilding that roster and trying to get them back to, you know, and I mean, they were in, this is a funny thing, is that we're having this conversation. They were in the NFC title game last year. James Franklin was in the college football playoff semifinals last year, and we're talking about him with a new job. This business and this sport has just become so immediate. And so what have you done for me lately? Frank Beamer never would have lasted. In Frank Beamer's sixth year, the Hokies went 2-9-1. He would not have gotten a seventh year in this day and age. And they would have missed out on everything that he did after that.
Lane, lastly, VCU lost in Raleigh to North Carolina, NC State. I was at the game, and my takeaway is Coach Martelli Jr. outcoached Will Wade. I thought Will Wade had more talent. He had the home building. It felt like the refs were on his side. Martelli Jr.'s team took the punches. They bounced back. They ended up losing the game, but they tied it multiple times. I thought he had his guys prepared. I thought they made the better halftime adjustments. You know, it just came down to there's so much talent on NC State.
And if you're not a fan of either team, that was a hell of a game to watch. That was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
I watched the second half just really intrigued in watching the back and forth between everything. And you know what? Phil Martelli Jr. and his players are not going to be interested in moral victories. But to go down to a ranked team in their building, in the ACC, a conference that is supposedly, you know, a step above yours, and to give them everything they wanted. Granted, it's only the fourth game of the season, but this should suit them very, very well moving through the rest of their non-conference and into the eight. I thought they played a hell of a game. You don't win them all. But, you know, you would take last night's performance and last night's optimism over a 30-point blowout where you're riding the bus all the way home, scratching your head, saying, how in the hell did that happen?
Lane, really appreciate you taking the time to join us today. Thanks a lot.
Adam, thanks for having me. Have a great week, everybody.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Richmond's home for the Hokies and the Hoos, VCU basketball, the Wizards, the Caps, the Commanders, and more right here, 910 AM, 105.1 FM.
Big deal brands are on sale right now at Designer Shoe Warehouse. Save up to 25% on select styles from the brands on everyone's list, like Nike, Adidas, New Balance, Crocs, Reebok, and more. Because the only thing we love more than dropping a name is dropping a price. You don't want to miss this one. These brands are almost never on sale. So shop the DSW Holiday Name Drop Sale today at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday doorbuster deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top-load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, broadcasting live from Capitol Ale House here in Innsbruck. Come on down, grab a beer, and check out the show. We're live and local till 3 p.m. Hokie Steve's going to join us here from Capitol Ale House at 2 p.m., talk about the big news, James Franklin hired as the next head coach for Virginia Tech football. We'll go around the NFL and take a look at the playoff picture. It's not going to include Washington. Joining us right now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline to discuss the Commanders' season, Joe Yashiroff. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what? Playoffs? Playoffs? Yeah, we're not talking playoffs, are we?
No, and it's just, it's crazy because a year ago we were the New England Patriots of this season. Now New England has stepped into that role. The theme of the show today has been, I am absolutely putting the first blemish on Adam Peters' resume here in Washington with the kicking failures. I do not blame him for Marshon Lattimore. I will continue to defend that because we were desperate for help and it looked like we were going to be a contender. But this kicking failure, it's absolutely the first scratch on his resume.
Absolutely. I hate to be boring and agree with everything that you said, but I agree with everything that you said. This was a disaster from the jump. You don't have any competition for the guy. I mean, you know, why are we making him into a Hall of Fame kicker having no competition, where the whole premise and philosophy of this team is competition for everybody and every job? So totally agree that was messed up from day one. He had to go. I don't feel good when somebody loses their job, but that they had to do it. They should have done it much earlier.
So with this being such a failure at the kicker position, it's making me go back and like question everything else that Adam Peters has done. And I'm still team, he's done way more positive than negative. But it's like seeing this blow up in their face and lose multiple games this season, it's making me want to go back and like look at everything through a fine tooth, a comb here. Like, why did they let De'Ami Brown go? Like, the whole, I feel like there was a disconnect between Adam Peters and Cliff Kingsbury at the wide receiver position. And you can't just say, well, the answer was we thought McLaurin would play. That's not good enough.
No, I agree with that. I mean, yes, there is that tendency. You know, when you lose and lose a lot, everything is bad and everything is wrong. Just like on the flip side, last year, everything looked great. And, you know, everything wasn't great last year, but it looked great because of all the wins. So I'm with you on looking at everything. But I think that it's a little too early to say, you know, it was a mistake to hire Adam Peters or to fire Dan Quinn. You got to, this year, you just throw out, and then let's see what they do in the offseason the next year.
Wide receiver moving forward, what do they do? Is this going to be a free agent? Is this going to be a draft pick? Like, I have so many people that reach out to me, and they're like, every single draft pick needs to be on the defensive side of the ball. The defense is awful. And I'm like, yeah, well, don't you have to give Jaden weapons, too?
You have to. And last time I was on with you, it might have been last week or the week before, I said first-round pick might even have to be a wide receiver. And typically you were not going to pick a wide receiver depending on who it is and the level that they're at. But the answer to your original question is yes. Not only draft, but first- or second-round pick, in my opinion, has to be a wide receiver and a free agent. You need to get two quality receivers in there. You don't know how long Terry's going to be with the team with the contract that he gave him. So they need two quality wide receivers at least, and then some depth behind that.
Are you entering into a bidding war at all with anyone over Debo? Or are you saying, thank you for your one season, have a nice career?
I don't know. I mean, you know, based on Terry McLaurin, and you can't, you know, it's a different guy, different situation, but you have receiver basically who's 30-plus. I'm not getting into a bidding war, and I mean, if Adam Peters is consistent with his philosophy, he won't either. The Terry McLaurin thing was a different situation, given Terry's stature on and off the field. So I'm going to say the short answer is no. The longer answer is just what I said. I mean, he'd be great to have. When he's healthy, he is such a Swiss Army knife. And even against Miami, you saw things that he can do. But no, bidding war, no way.
Yeah. Does that make you question the trade at all? I mean, it's been a wasted season, and you could use those draft picks because you're definitely not – I mean, here's the thing about Debo, and I don't want to get into a bidding war either. But he's going to get overpaid the way he's played this year. And so he's probably completely gone as a Commander.
I would think so. I mean, I don't question giving up a fifth-round pick to get Debo because the thinking, you have to go back to last year. Again, you're one step away from the Super Bowl. Again, it's a little deceptive. But, hey, bottom line is you're one step away. So now you're thinking, all right, we're going for it this year. So I think it was actually a great trade that to do what he did this year. And obviously it didn't work out for anything or anybody. But, no, I thought it was a good trade. But that doesn't mean that if he goes, I don't think you go look back and say it was a bad trade.
So you're one step away. We all would have agreed with that take last year. But now looking at the way this season has played out, what went wrong there, right? Because they all thought they were one step away. They made major moves to put them into the conversation of contenders, and it's just completely gone wrong. And I don't think you can just say, oh, it's because of the injuries.
No, I mean, injuries are a big part of it. When you have four or five key guys out on offense and on defense, I know that the 49ers have done that and are doing well.
Yeah.
But that's the exception rather than the rule. So I think injuries were a big part of it. The other part of it is last year wasn't supposed to happen. You know, it wasn't part of the plan. I mean, sometimes things happen that aren't part of the plan. Last year was probably going to be a 500 season, if that, and it didn't happen. And so now everybody's expectations are higher, unrealistically so, and fans and media alike, we get unrealistic. And so we were trying to say, all right, well, now we're a Super Bowl team. Well, clearly they're not.
Right, but isn't Adam Peters supposed to be able to identify that? Like, he should have known, hey, we're actually not one step away. I know this roster. I was asked about it in my introductory press conference, how good this roster is. He paused, right? Everybody's still talking about the pause that he made when he first got here. He should have known we're not one step away.
Well, but he had to change his plan given what happened last year. So, yes, I agree with you. But, you know, once you do what they did last year, now you're thinking, okay – And I'll give you a hypothetical. If there weren't all these injuries, I think the Commanders, I said it before the season, I don't know if it was on your show or other shows, that a great season this year would have been 10 wins because of the schedule, because of the luck last year, luck with health. So I think he thought, all right, we're going to be a 10, maybe 11-win season. And without those injuries, I could argue maybe that would have happened. I mean, nobody knows. So I don't think it was that huge of a miscalculation, but yes, it was, looking at the record now.
Yeah, and the other part about the injuries is it's not just injuries. It's our franchise quarterback, and he means more to our organization than Brock Purdy, who's getting paid millions of dollars to the 49ers, or Kyler Murray in Arizona.
Sure.
Like, that's what's so frustrating is we're by far not the only team that's lost our quarterback, but our quarterback means more to our franchise than everybody else's.
100%, and also the whole thing about you got him on a rookie contract, here's this bonus season that wasn't supposed to happen, okay, we got to shift our focus, and now we got to go for it. So I think that's what they all did, and you know, maybe he should have been smarter than that, but I can see where he was going with that, and I don't necessarily blame him.
Defensively, of the 11 guys, how many new starters would you like to see next year? Because I think that's the issue is, I'd like to see probably 8 new starters. I don't think that's possible in one offseason.
I don't think it's possible if you're trying to be good. I mean, at least 4 or 5. I mean, the old guys, you know, Bobby Wagner can still have 10 tackles every game, but he still can't cover anybody, so you're going to have to make a decision. You know, Von Miller. So I think at least 4 or 5, but, you know, at least 1 or 2 at every position group, you know, the line, the linebackers, and defensive backfield. So, yeah, it's going to be some changes, and you'll have a new defensive coordinator. I think that's not going out on a limb. So the defense will look, I think, completely different next year.
Yeah, I've been saying I need Dan Quinn to call the plays throughout his time here in Washington.
Yeah.
That's his secret sauce. Yeah.
No question. I mean, that's what he is. He's a defensive coordinator who happens to be the head coach. And we saw the differences. We saw the blitzing. The other part of, you know, when your defense is bad, there's two good ways to deal with that is to blitz and to hold on to the ball. And they did both. So they kind of did what you needed to do, and it still wasn't enough. But, yeah. You could tell the difference. And they contained Waddle, those two big fourth down stops. They still couldn't stop the run. That was painful to watch. But, no, you could definitely see the differences with Quinn calling the D.
Yeah, they didn't stop the run, but I saw more effort to set the edge. Yeah. Like, there was a play in which it was like, I think it was maybe Preston Smith. He was like, there's no way in hell you're getting around me. And the guy went all the way to the corner, to the outside, to the sideline, and then he cut back inside. So they didn't actually let him outside, but he still gained 10 yards.
He set the edge, and it still didn't work.
Yeah, exactly. Joe, what really appreciate the time, man.
Anytime, AWOD. Thank you.
That is Joe Yashiroff. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Joe is always fun to bring on the show. He is a sports journalism professor at Maryland and longtime TV executive sports producer in D.C. You're listening to AWOD on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry, yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday doorbuster deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. We are broadcasting live from Capitol Ale House here in Innsbruck, where we are joined by our special guest from the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hot Seat. It is Hokie Steve. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's up, AWOD? How are you?
I'm good, and this is your moment. Yeah. This is your hour here on AWOD Radio.
All right. I'll take it.
Hokie's happy hour. You got to be happy with James Franklin.
I mean, again, if this was, I think I heard you talking to Lane earlier today, like, you know, rate this hire, right? I mean, this is a grand slam hire. I mean, this is if you told me on September 14th, the day that Prowlett was let go, by the way, which at that time Penn State was undefeated and ranked number two in the country, that James Franklin, 60-some days later, would be your head football coach? I mean, unreal. And that's what we're talking about. And the opportunity was there. I give huge props to the search committee, and I'm going to give huge props to Whit Babcock as well. They went out and identified the guy that they wanted, and it took a while, but they got him.
He was not supposed to be available.
He was not supposed to be. Again, like I said, we're talking. Like I said, we're talking about a team that was 7 seconds away. If Notre Dame doesn't make that field goal and that game goes into overtime, they could be. They could have been playing Ohio State for the national championship last year. We're talking about a team that's won 34 games in the last three seasons under James Franklin. We're talking about.
I mean, at this time last year, they were a top five team.
Yeah.
And then they went and took down SMU.
Yep.
Then Boise.
Yep.
And we're in that game to the final second against Notre Dame. And now, yes, less than a year later, he takes over as the head coach of the Hokies. I can't find any reason for negativity with this.
You can't. I mean, right, again, day one, right? It's all awesome, right? Listen, he's got a big job ahead of him. There's no doubt about it. But if you told me guys who was going to be available for this job, we're not talking about James Franklin, the fact that they went out and hired James Franklin, a guy that has recruited the heck out of the DMV and our footprint, and really come down here and taken so many of the players out of this region that we would have normally have gotten back in the Coach Beamer era. It's a win-win all around. There's no negativity for this hire, not one bit.
What was your perspective on James Franklin before the hire? Because I have long felt like it was the laziest take in college football that he can't win the big game. His team plays in the big game almost every single year.
Let's back up and say you got to get to the big game to play in the big game. And Virginia Tech hasn't played in very many big games in quite some time. Let's face it. You know, they've been flirting around with, you know, 6-win, 7-win seasons for the last almost 10 years. Yeah, his record against Michigan and Ohio State, not very good.
But why do you think Virginia Tech has struggled in the last 10 years? I'll tell you, I think it's because James Franklin took their best recruit.
Well, I was going to say, it's still about the talent on the field, right? It's still about the Jimmys and Joes and the X's and O's. And we didn't have the kind of talent. Again, I can go down and tell you, just 3 years ago, Penn State got 6 out of the top 12 in the state in the Commonwealth of Virginia. That's 50%. Virginia Tech got 0, all right? The class of 26, Virginia Tech has 0 commits in the top, I think, 12 or 13. That's all you need to know. The talent is leaving the state of Virginia. Virginia's doing a little bit better this year in the recruiting world, but right now, as of today, and hopefully it changes, as of today, we're not getting the same talent that we got for the better part of 20 years under the Beamer era. And you know, it was not, you know, I'm telling you, when you took a look at the top 20 back in the mid early 2000s, we'd get 15, 16 out of the top 25.
Right.
Easily.
Every single year. I wonder, what do you think his strategy is going to be year one? I don't know how many high school seniors he should go after in year one.
I will tell you that all of a sudden, Saturday in Blacksburg becomes a huge recruiting weekend for James Franklin. Mm. He's already on the phone. He's already banging out offers. I think I've read where he's offered at least 4 guys in the since last night.
Yeah.
All these are – Penn State has 17 decommits out of their class, their 2026 class. That's a lot, all right?
Yeah. And I wonder how many players – currently playing for Penn State will opt into the transfer portal.
Well, I mean, there's going to be that too. And that's going to be, you know, after the season's over when the portal opens up. But right now, what James Franklin can do is try to convert as many of those decommits that he wants to come to Blacksburg, and then maybe some other kids as well. The signing date's coming up. We're, you know, about a month away, or less than a month away from the signing date. So you still got time to flip some guys if you want to.
Let's talk about the timing
here.
It comes out on November 18th.
Yeah.
There is absolutely an opportunity, like you said, for him to flip people.
We still got 2 weeks left in the regular season before the championship weekend, so we've got almost a 2.5-week window where he can do some major damage before LSU fills their slot, Florida fills their slot, Auburn fills their slot. So the timing of this thing is great because he's got, say, 2.5-3 weeks to go out and get ahead of the game with some of these other schools that we're going to be recruiting against.
What do you know about James Franklin as a person?
I heard he's can be an SOB at times. I don't think that's a bad thing. I mean, I think we need some of a culture change in Blacksburg. And you know, I want a guy that wants to come in there and win quickly. We don't need a 2 or 3 year window to rebuild this thing between the portal and who he can potentially flip it from the high school and who we potentially would have coming back. We can win 8 or 9 games next year. You look at that schedule. That schedule is not that tough next year. I mean, it's got some good teams. I think Miami's back on there again. Clemson's back on there again. But that is a winnable. That's a schedule where they can win. You know, like I said, 8 or 9 games.
His biggest problem at Penn State, in my mind, was the quarterback position. He had good quarterbacks,
right,
not elite quarterbacks.
Right.
And that's kind of what led to Pry getting fired as well.
Right. Well, I mean, obviously Drew Aller's season ended very badly this year, but it goes back, you know, before Drew Aller as well. I heard you mention about, you know, McSorley back in the day. I didn't. You know, but again, he won games. He's won double-digit wins in 6 of his 11 years at Penn State. Double-digit victories. So Virginia Tech is in a situation where we need to get back to, you know, 8, 9, 10 wins. Yeah, I would love to get to the playoff and all that kind of stuff, and I hope that's in the very near future. But getting the culture flipped, getting the culture corrected back at Virginia Tech, and getting the state of Virginia players back in the mix, I think that's a huge way to win games early.
I think one of his biggest strengths is going to be recruiting talent positions, the skill positions, wide receiver, tight end, running back. I can't wait to see what he does. I mean, there's just the list goes on.
I can't wait to see, and I have no idea where if Sam Levitt is even a guy. He's a quarterback at Arizona State who got hurt. He's already said I'm probably not coming back here next year. Virginia Tech is going to have an opportunity. Whoever the top 4 or 5 quarterbacks in the transfer, they're going to have an opportunity to go out and sign one of those guys. So that's what I'm hoping for. Is Franklin has ID'd who those 3 or 4 guys, 5 guys are, because that is the position that we need to be better at from day one.
You mentioned it though. This move here to bring in James Franklin is a grand slam.
I mean,
you have to credit the athletic department.
I credit the athletic director, Whit Babcock. I credit the search committee for. When they formed that committee, Bruce Arians, Bud Foster, when they formed that committee, again, James Franklin was not available. James Franklin didn't get fired from Penn State until October the 12th. That committee was formed before that.
Yeah.
So he wasn't even on their radar screen until, I mean, 30 days ago, 35 days ago. So the fact that they identified him and said, you know, hey, okay, all of a sudden, change gears, right? This guy's available. And again, they went after him. And again, we've known he's been on their radar screen for quite some time. And obviously, it took some time. But knowing the Jimmy Sexton agent guy he is, I'm not surprised that it didn't take. And listen, for all I know, he may have been waiting to see if FSU fired Mike Norvell.
Right.
Obviously, they haven't fired Mike Norvell. And I guess he decided he didn't want to wait around anymore. And he's going to be with the Hokies for a while.
There are a million positives about this signing. I'm struggling to find a negative. I think the only thing that I would say is I'm pretty confident this is a pit stop for James Franklin.
Yeah, I heard you say that earlier. And
do you disagree?
I don't. I hope you're wrong. But you take the chance anyway. It doesn't matter. Mm. If he stays for 5 years, 4 years, whatever it is, he's the kind of guy that can change the program in 6 months, and that's what we need. We need, like a Buzz. You know, when Buzz Williams came to Virginia Tech, Virginia Tech basketball culture was terrible. All right, instantly he turned them around. They almost won. I think they won close to 19 or 20 games the first year. Had him in the tournament 3 out of 5 years. Three of the five years he was there, had him in the Sweet 16. That's what James Franklin will do for this program. And if he's there for, you know, 4 or 5 years, so be it. We take that chance.
What do you think this message sends to the ACC?
That we're serious about football. And I hate to say that we weren't serious about football. I don't necessarily know that we were never serious about football. It just got to a point where it wasn't working with the coaches that they brought in. When Coach Beamer left, when Fuente came in there, and then certainly when Pry came in there, we are stuck in that 10-year window of struggling just to get to 6 wins a year.
But this guy comes in with a resume that is bigger than anything we've seen.
Right, that's what I said. He's won 34 games. In his last 3 years at Penn State, he was 34-8, all right, in the Big Ten.
Yeah, and to me it's not the winning as much as it is the NFL talent.
Well, I mean, again, at the end of the day, it's who you, it's at the 11 that you have run around on offense and defense, right?
Right.
I mean, the coaches don't
and his
make
guys are just
the coaches
better.
The coaches don't make plays, the players do. And we've got to get better talent. You know, and James Franklin's the kind of guy that can do that starting today.
I feel like this is the happiest I've seen you here, right? I mean, we've been doing this segment for over a year now.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's been listen, this goes back. This is, you know, Fry was there for 3 years in a few games. The end of the Foo era was bad, too. I mean, it's been a while. It's really been since 2016. It's been since 2016 that this team
was that the end of Logan Thomas?
That was a little bit after that. Mm-hmm. But when Foo came in 2016, they won 10 games. But he inherited Coach Beamer's players. They went to the ACC championship that year, lost to Clemson, and then lost the bowl game. But really, from that point on, what are we talking? 9 years? I mean, that's a long time.
Right. I mean, so in a decade in college football, it feels like it's even longer when you consider those kids are now 18 years old.
Yeah.
They were eight.
Yes, exactly. And I was also in my 50s. but let me tell you this. This is a move that had to be made because I'm still looking at 2030, and you know where I'm going with this. 2030 is when the exit fees of the ACC schools drop from almost $200 million down to $100. That's a $100 million drop, okay? I have no idea what's going to happen with the ACC, but Virginia Tech needs to be relevant when that day comes, because if they're not, they could be on the outside looking in, and that's a day that I'd never want to see.
That's Hokie Steve. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Tonight, make sure you turn on your TV for the college football playoff bracket reveal. It's every Tuesday night. I have really enjoyed the drama, the entertainment, with 25 teams coming out in the college football playoffs, top 25. Kind of shows you a little bit of insight into what the committee is thinking, and then they reveal the bracket. It's super exciting, and I do think that there's 20 teams at least that still have a chance to get into the 12-team CFP. Hokie Steve with us here still. Let's do a little University Drive on AWOD Radio.
Let's go to University Drive. Scores, rivalries, rankings, all the college football in the state of Virginia. We'll follow the action all season long.
Oh, yeah!
University Drive on AWOD Radio.
So, Steve,
yep.
I know you're doing Friday Night Lights.
I am.
And we've got Stubbs still hanging on for that. But Jeremy is running the board, Jay Money, and he's a JMU alum.
I heard he was bad at me last week.
Yeah, Jeremy, you're going to have to load your guns because Hokie Steve is still not in on the Dukes.
I'm telling you, it is razor thin tonight, guys. It is razor thin between JMU, North Texas, and I'm going to throw Tulane out there as a third team. And before you go wild because Tulane's 8-2, they have two Power 4 wins, not necessarily against great Power 4 teams. They've got two wins against Power 4.
All right, Jeremy, let's see you go wild.
Go wild.
No, I agree. I agree that those are
the... Oh, come on.
No. I don't. I think JMU's still the clear favorite. I do. I think those are the three teams that have a chance at making the college football playoff from the group of five, right? Tulane is hurt because it lost a game to UTSA. North Texas, they haven't played anybody. Their best win is against a Navy team that also hasn't played anybody. And you can make a strength of schedule argument all you want, but the Dukes have been blowing the doors off of everybody that they play. They have scored over 40 points in each of the last four games, I believe. They haven't allowed over 300 yards more than once this season as a team. Their defense is one of the best in the country by all metrics, and the way their offense is playing right now, I think they're by far the clear favorite in the group of five.
I do think that he is right in terms of the statement win. I mean, that was a blowout.
No, there's no doubt. And again, I just think it's really, really tight tonight between those three. And the reason, you know, I'm even throwing Tulane in there at 8-2 is because their strength of schedule. I think the committee really looks at strength of schedule. I think they really do. And the one thing that's hurting the Sun Belt is they're like 1-16 against Power 4. And we all know who that one was, by the way, which was against the Hokies. But they're 1-16 against Power 4, and the AAC is 6-11 against Power Four and against Washington State if you throw that game in there. Yeah. So that's I think they're going to look at that. I'm not saying that's going to be the overriding factor, but I think the committee definitely takes that into consideration.
So the one win for the Sun Belt, ODU.
ODU against Hokies.
The ODU yeah. Monarchs.
They're 1-16 against Power Four.
So
and that was the one win.
The Tulane argument is, well, they beat Duke, right?
A big win. And they beat Northwestern.
And they beat not giving them much for beating Northwestern. Is that even a football school? Come on. But I will give them
they almost beat Michigan last week.
But so here's my question to you, Steve. All right. Let's say the 12-team playoffs come out today.
Yep.
And the top 25. And Tulane is ahead of JMU.
Okay.
If Tulane wins out and JMU wins out, who gets in? Because I would argue that JMU has the opportunity to build their resume to be above Tulane with their game against Washington State. Like you said, they need another non-con win.
They have the opportunity to play the old Pac-12 Washington State, Cougars, right? I don't know because Tulane has got Temple and Charlotte. Two very easy wins. I think it depends on if they get in the AAC championship game, who they would play, and would they play South Florida, who comes back and wins their next two. North Texas has got Rice and Temple. I got Tulane's got Temple and Charlotte, and JMU's got Washington State, and then they got Coastal before they play in the Sun Belt Championship.
All right, so the bracket will be revealed tonight. Hokie, Steve, and myself are going to go through ours. I'm putting you down for who for the G5?
You putting me down for who? I'm telling you, man, it's tight. I mean, I'm not going to be disappointed if JMU pops up there. I'm just saying don't be shocked if it's not. All right, that's all I'm saying.
But you're officially taking who?
I mean,
come on, Jeremy. You heard this answer here. Come on.
It was nothing.
I'm telling you, it is razor thin, and I can see it go one of three ways. But I'll throw the Dukes in there. All right, I'm throwing the Dukes in there.
Dude, we convinced him
just to keep you boys happy. All right,
I'm gonna put JMU in there myself. All right, let's get to the SEC.
Is he working on game Friday night? That's if he is, I'm definitely picking. But we got Megan, maybe. But I'll throw this in there for the G5. How about that?
All right, over to the SEC.
All right, I'm telling you, as of right now, I'm still keeping five in there. And guess who popped in there? The Oklahoma Sooners.
Yep.
With their win in Tuscaloosa last Saturday.
So that's A&M.
That's Texas A&M is the 4 seed. I've got Georgia is now the 3 seed. I've got Ole Miss as a 6 seed, Bama as a 10 seed, and Oklahoma as a 7 seed.
So which of those five teams are a lock with a couple games left?
Georgia and Texas A&M are locks, in my opinion. The teams that are on the fence are Bama and Oklahoma, and Ole Miss is kind of in between.
So if Oklahoma loses to Auburn, they're done.
Yes.
I mean, if Alabama loses to Auburn.
Yes, they're done.
Yeah.
They're done.
Yeah. Georgia's interesting.
Georgia's got this week they are playing Charlotte, speaking of the AAC,
yeah,
and then they've got Georgia Tech. And what's interesting about that game is that is Georgia Tech's home game. I've told you this. Georgia Tech has moved their home game from Bobby Dodd Stadium to Mercedes-Benz. So that in effect will make it a UGA home game because Georgia will have probably a 70-30 crowd at Mercedes-Benz, which Georgia Tech could have had a home field advantage, but they moved the game.
Well, where was that game last year when it was very close, right?
That was in Athens.
Yeah.
That was in Athens last year.
Yeah.
Georgia would never move a home game, okay?
I think this will be a contest. And
Again, very easily, I'm just saying, 8 overtimes last year, right? This could be a very good game, but I think Georgia Tech, by moving that game to Mercedes-Benz, screwed their home field advantage.
All right, Big Ten.
Big Ten, I've still got the Buckeyes in there. I've got the Hoosiers in there. And Oregon is in there. They are sitting on the fence, though, but I've still got the Ducks in there.
What about USC?
Don't they play? They play USC this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
That's an elimination game right there.
Yeah.
So
it's gonna be,
the game's at Eugene, I believe.
Yeah.
So
it's gonna be very interesting because USC is one of the hotter teams right now.
They are,
and they're 3-game win streak, and they could absolutely play themselves in. The question is, would they play themselves in and also knock Oregon out, or could the Big Ten get 4 teams in?
Yeah, that's a great point. I like Oregon because they're at home, and that's why I'm like I said, they're kind of on that fit. They're in that, you know, of the teams that I've got in that could very easily be bounced out. Certainly if they lose to USC Saturday, they're on the outside looking in. I don't know that that's enough. I don't know that that is enough for the Big Ten to get a fourth team in there, but you know, we'll see.
So Notre Dame is a lock?
Notre Dame right now is probably as close to a lock as you can get.
Yep. So that leaves two spots available.
That leaves
with two conferences.
And I'm going to say, even if, you know, I don't see the Hokies winning this weekend against the Canes. I don't know what they'll do when they go to Pittsburgh. I mean, who knows? They went to, you know, they went to Syracuse last year and totally blew up their season. They've still got it. So the last two games are in Blacksburg and then at Pitt. I'm still saying the ACC champion is going to represent the ACC in the playoff.
And if Miami wins out but does not get to the ACC championship game, you're telling me their season is over with the exact same record as Notre Dame and a head-to-head win?
You know why?
You got some explaining
to
do.
You know why? It's in theory, it's wrong. In this situation, it's when you lose versus how when you lose versus how you know. The Canes.
Then why are we even playing the game? Let's just put all the big name brands in every single year. It's Notre Dame. It's the Fighting Irish.
Yeah. Well, I can't disagree with that. I can't. I mean, if Notre Dame does not rip off 10 in a row, if they had lost, if they were 10-2, but guess what? They lost to Miami game one, and they lost 2 weeks ago to Southern Cal or Navy or whatever. I think we'd be talking about a different. It just they've looked so good. And then you put them on the road against a ranked Pitt team,
and they blow them out.
They blow them out.
Notre Dame has had four opportunities to get statement wins against top 25 teams. They are 2-2.
Right.
And they're not going to play another one.
Right.
Miami has had two opportunities. They're 2-0, and they'll have a third opportunity at Pitt. To me, if they're 3-0 against teams in the top 25 and they have a 10-2 record and Notre Dame has a 10-2 record, I'm sorry, Notre Dame, I'm putting Miami in.
You know, I don't disagree with you. However, the two words that you said, Notre Dame, I think changes everything. I really do.
Just the word Notre Dame.
Just the word. Just the Notre Dame. And because they haven't lost since the second week of the season against a Texas A&M team, which is a top four team, and a Miami team who's been in the top 20 all year, who's been in the top 10 for most of the year, I think that's what's going to save them.
So then what if the committee decides, all right, Miami has to be in, Notre Dame has to be in, let's take an SEC team out?
I guess at that point, you know, who does Oklahoma have? Oklahoma, they still have Mizzou this weekend, right? They've got to play Missouri, and then they've got LSU. But I think they've got Mizzou this weekend.
Yeah.
That might take care of themselves. I mean, that's not a slam dunk for the Sooners to beat Mizzou. It may be to beat LSU. I don't know. But, I mean.
But you're right. If it's 10-2 Oklahoma, 10-2 Notre Dame, 10-2 Miami, they're going to go with the SEC team and the big brand in Notre Dame.
I mean, that just based on history of what I've seen with committee do, not only last year, but then even the previous year when they, again, as we've said, they kicked out a 13-0 ACC champion to get a Alabama team in there.
Yeah.
Right?
Vanderbilt, is their season over?
I think they're on the outside looking in. I think they really are.
They needed that Texas game.
They needed the Texas game, and then Oklahoma. And I'm still surprised that Oklahoma went to Tuscaloosa and won. I am. I really am.
I mean, I watched the game. Alabama was winning for 99%.
I think Alabama's offense is a problem. Alabama's defense did not. I mean, the Alabama's offense gave up a ton of points. You know, they had a special team score.
Yeah.
When I saw what Jean-Matier and those guys went to Tuscaloosa, that's the only way we're talking about Oklahoma even in this mix right now. But they've played their way back into it.
That's Hokie Steve. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only, limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location, while supplies last.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.